Hello, ghouls and gullets, and welcome to the Gospel of Ghost, the podcast that aims to bring the lore and narrative of Ghost to the forefront of their music. And today I'm joined by another returning guest. It's Eden.
Hi.
Hi, Eden. How's it going?
It's going great. I'm very happy to be back.
I'm very happy to have you back.
Thank
so last you. Time, remind me, what song did you do?
We did Stand By Him.
Oh, yes, of course. Mm-hmm. And that was a very good song to cover.
Yes.
You were the first person to request an Infestissimum song. And I do want to ask you one thing, because obviously your Instagram handle.
And Twitter.
Mm-hmm. And Twitter is GouletXVX, I think.
Yes, that's correct.
There we go. Mm-hmm. What is your love for this song? Like, why did you choose this song in particular to attach to?
Well, I've had the Goulet handle on and off for a really long time. Like, actually, when I first got into them was when, you know, Infestissimum came out, and I got to see them a month after it came out. And I just remember hearing that song for the first time, and it was just so, I don't know, it just captivated me. And I just loved the contrast of, like, the Goulet part versus the Zombie Queen part. And I loved how, like, dancey and, like, surfy and, like, very, like, 60s almost sounding it was.
It
like,
is, you yeah. know.
And then as soon as I, like, heard that and got into them, like, I think I had changed my Instagram handle to Goulet. So I did it, like, two times because somebody had already claimed just the one, but I don't even think they were a ghost fan. Because it is an actual word.
Yes,
and,
it is.
You know, so I was like, fine, I'll just do like double or whatever. And then I went away from it for a little bit. And then I did have Goulet MUA for a while, which is makeup artist. Mm-hmm. And then I changed it and then I went back to it, but just added the XVX, which is vegan straight edge. And I think I'm going to stick with it. But yeah, it just, I don't know, like it's this a whole album is just so important to me. So I was happy to do any song really. But this one, I was like, I have to claim this. This is like my song.
No, of course. Yeah. And you were the first one. There was a couple of other people who asked for it, but I was like, no, she's got the Instagram handle. She beat me to it. So yeah, obviously this week we've had a bit of ghost news, finally.
Yes,
that's not just merch announcements and alcohol sales.
Oh my god.
So if you haven't heard, out on the web, Papa, who will remain Papa on the show regardless, even though they've revealed themselves on, you know, the official ghost thing for the first time.
That was shocking.
Yeah.
I was like, what world am I living in right now?
So Papa won an award in Sweden for, I think it's Swedish artists who had a large international impact, I believe.
I think so.
Is something along that lines.
I believe so.
In an interview, he said that the next album is going to be dropping in winter 2021. There's speculation as to whether that means January, February, March of next year, or does that mean October, November, December of next year?
God.
Yeah, that's going to be a long wait if so.
Yeah, it is. Oh, man.
I'm personally of the opinion that they're going to release a song on Halloween.
I think so, too.
The Hunter's Moon song,
I think it is. Yeah, because a lot of people have been digging around, and I don't know how they find this stuff, but someone found something, and I don't know
who has their copyright search thing set to a ghoul writer, but whoever you are, man, you're a hero.
Bless you.
But yeah,
or possess you.
But yeah, it will be interesting to see. If we get an album in January or February, I'll be stoked. Especially, they said that they were going to be touring in the autumn, so that will be amazing. Obviously, with the COVID situation, nothing is certain right now.
Nothing is certain.
Obviously, tours can be postponed and stuff, depending. But let's all just hope that next year is going to be a very ghost-filled year for everybody.
We
North
need
American
it.
Tour, European tour, UK tour, let's do them all.
We need it. More than anything right now. We need this to happen, so let's all.
We do, and it'll make possibly, you know, secure season 5 of the podcast.
Yes, absolutely.
But yeah, that's,
I hope so.
If you're listening out there, Papa, make it happen. And also validate me. But right, okay, today, as I discussed, you're here to talk about one song that's got two titles. It is Goulet/Zombie Queen. As you mentioned, the song sort of switches over into a more surf rock melody halfway through. Are you one of these people that classify it as two songs, or is it just one song to you?
I think it's one.
Yeah?
Yeah, honestly, because, I mean, he still says Goulet in the other part of the song.
True.
It's still referencing the same thing, and they flow in together so nicely, even though it sounds so different. There's still, like, that connection, you know, but I get why people would
Yeah, no, I'm in agreement with you. Obviously, the style and tone of the start of the song and the end of the song are so different. And obviously, it's got the slash in the name, so people were thinking it might be like a song intro combined with a song, like they do on some of their other albums, like the instrumental stuff. Who knows?
That makes sense, too.
But yeah, I'm in agreement with you. It is one song, which is why we're going to not split it up into two episodes.
No. That would be ridiculous.
Yeah. So, shall we get started?
Yes.
Cool. Plot summary time, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
9 months have passed since the event of Opus, and the Antichrist is imminent. During those 9 months, the clergy have grown significantly, though still not enough to take the Church of God head on. However, the Church are aware of their threat and are trying, and feeling, to keep the swaying population on their side. Requesting help from their Dark Lord in form of prayer, the clergy have used the dark powers of Satan to cloud the judgment of the Church to their plans, and the physical location of Lilith, as well as to confuse the general populace even further. And with the power growing inside the baby, the time has come. In a culmination of growth, the birth begins, bringing his life into the world, but, more importantly for this episode, in my opinion, ending Lilith's.
Love it.
Let's get into the lyrics. The first four lyrics. Goulet, 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 and goulet.
Riveting.
Yeah, fantastic yes. stuff. Thanks for the yes. content, Papa.
Right.
You mentioned earlier that it is an actual word. I was only able to find one source on that. Can you tell me where your source comes from?
Oh my God, I don't remember where I found it, but I knew that it had been a word forever. It's just it's exactly what we think it is. It's how it's used in the song or just in general. It's just a female term for ghoul. It's Arabic.
It is a word used in Arabian folklore to describe a female ghoul. I was genuinely fascinated at that because I always thought that ghoulé was a made-up word.
Me too.
Like, I genuinely thought it was just something that they had, we need a female ghoul name, here we go. They've got the ghoulettes now. Yes. We know that's their sort of made-up word for it, because I don't think goulette is a word.
I don't think so either.
But I was just fascinated the fact that it's, how do you be a writer of a song, of a band, and know this word from like Arabian folklore to describe a female ghoul?
Yeah, how did he find this? I have no idea.
But yes, in the terms of the story, you mentioned something before we started recording, right? We were discussing the perspectives of the last episode, Gigolo Harmageddon, and that you mentioned very briefly that you thought it was actually from Satan's perspective, or at least you did before you listened to the show.
Yes.
I believe that this is actually the first time we're hearing from Satan himself in the lyrics.
Okay. Yeah.
It almost sounds like he's calling sort of softly to wake Lilith up from sleep and going into what can only be described, in my opinion, is the closest we've got to a love song so far. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I can agree with that. Like I said, I have a lot of notes here. So once we get into the first part, I have a lot literally just on the first verse, basically.
Cool. That's awesome.
But no, I can agree with that because, well, I'll get to it when I start to talk about.
Quick question on the general premise of what I've just put forward. Do you believe that this episode is about Lilith and possibly, well, definitely her death, but resurrection?
Definitely resurrection. I can see where you would say that it would be tied into this Lilith character. But my other thing too, like, you know, as you had mentioned before in the last one, like it about it being a totally different character or whatever, like that's what you're speculating or something like that. This is what I'm thinking about with this one. I think that it might be somebody totally different.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
Because of just all the other things that are talked about in it. But I can also see where you're coming from too, just about it, like tying into the story and everything and her dying, you know, due to the birth of the Antichrist. I mean, how can you survive that? And then, like you said, Satan, you know, rising her from the dead to continue on, I suppose.
Okay, cool. We will have that debate going forward. It's always interesting to have two conflicting ideas, because we get to the end of the episode and one of us, we're not going to say one of us is going to have to give, this isn't an argument after all.
No, just discussion. It is.
Yeah, it's a nice way to try and convince the other person, I suppose.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. A debate.
Yes.
Okay, so the next couple of lines. Putrefaction Ascent the Cursed Bee, Under Cool Dark Dust. All right. Do you want to start off on this? Because you said you had no...
Yes. Well, putrefaction, for people who don't know, I mean, it's kind of obvious on what it's alluding to. It means the process of decay or rotting in a body or other organic matter. So obviously, she is dead. She is rotting in the ground, basically.
Yep.
And talking about the dust, I mean, in my opinion, this is where it comes into it being about a different person. Mm-hmm. When I think about just like a coating of dust or something, that they've been there a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like they've been sitting there forever because dust collects on things that, you know, are stagnant.
Yes.
And that made me think like, oh, this whoever they are have been dead for a very long time.
Okay.
And yeah, they're in putrefaction. So it's like they're in the process of or already decaying.
Yes. Now, allow my rebuttal to that.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time, in my opinion, that the songs of the album are not actually in sequential order in terms of narrative.
Yes, I can also agree with that.
So putrefaction, putrefaction, which is the decay of organic matter, as you said, occurs between 10 to 12 days of death, of passing, meaning this song likely takes place just over a week after Gigolo.
Okay, yeah.
So in my opinion, you know, as I said, this is the first time the Ghost has played with time in their universe, as I believe this song takes place after Year Zero, which is the Unholy Celebration that I think takes place very shortly after Gigolo, whereas this thing comes after that.
That's true. And they should be flipped around if we were thinking in...
If we're thinking in narrative terms, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they should. But in that rebuttal, I would say that is more than enough time for dust to settle.
I agree. Mm-hmm. And also another thing, too, now that I'm thinking about it, because my notes are just like all over the place here. Papa had actually said something about this song to Loudwire. So he said that Ghule, she is the romanticized idea of either a being or a time being lost. It is about nostalgia. The absence of time or a person or a being or something has a tendency to fog up the idea of what the actual nature of that thing or person is.
Mm.
So, like you said, it could be not exactly in an order. It could be a throwback or like, you know, or just like a little bit further.
Yeah.
But not like, you know, years after mm-hmm. this, you know. So I was like, oh, okay, yes, I can see where you're coming from. I've forgotten about that quote.
If you even take it into that context, that it is nostalgia-based, it could be even further than I thought it was. It could be mm-hmm. after the 10 to 20 days. There is no time limit, I suppose, to it.
Yeah.
So this could technically be the narrative version of the final song. This could be the final part of the narrative of Infestissimum.
Mm-hmm.
After, not to spoil a lot, but Satan's a-coming.
Yes. he's a-coming.
Satan's a-coming. So it could be that this is in narrative universe, yes, on the song and the album mm-hmm. it's after Gigolo, but it could be that it's after Monstrous Clock.
That's true. I can see that as well.
In my opinion, which is why I think it's still Lilith, because I think she's still tied into the whole Satan, the whole storyline with Satan.
Definitely.
Have you got any more to add on that?
No, I'm ready to...
ready to keep going?
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, so the next set of lyrics. From the darkness, rise a succubus... From the earthen rust. I want to start off, I'll let you take succubus for a bit, but I want to start off by discussing the meaning of darkness in this verse.
Sure.
In this verse, darkness, and the following verse as well, has a double meaning. The first and most obvious is a literal sense of darkness, as in this is taking place in a dark place mm-hmm. / on a dark night, but it could also mean the metaphorical darkness that is death. It is the blackness of death, the afterlife.
I can agree with that.
So, rise a succubus. Do you want to go ahead and talk about what a succubus is?
I would love to. This is where I have a lot of my notes here. Okay. Succubus is a female demon believed to have sexual intercourse with sleeping men. A really funny thing that I noticed is that Papa pronounces it closer to succubus, which is actually a word as well, but it has to do with a plant of some sort. So definitely not the same thing, but it's just funny just how he says it, you know? I mean,
what kind of plant is it?
Liverwort.
Okay, I'm gonna have to Google that.
Yeah, it's something about the leaves and how they're like stacked together or something. I saw it while I was doing my research and I was like, that's kind of funny, honestly. Like, I don't think that really has anything to do with it, but it's just funny that he just says it that way and that's an actual word. I know he's just playing up his words, you know.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's funny, right?
Yeah,
well, I just had to point that out. I thought that was like a funny thing.
It's especially interesting since it's coming out of the ground. It's coming from the earthen rust.
Correct.
Which is, yeah, that's cool. Mm-hmm, that's cool. Mm-hmm. But I think for the purposes of this,
the demon. Yes. And also to go off of that, it's derived from late Latin succuba, which can mean paramour. Like a spirit or a ghost, not the band.
Hmm.
From succubar, which means to lie beneath, which is to imply the position of the man underneath the succubus is usually there, you know.
Yeah.
On top.
Yeah.
Another thing too. So King James has a dissertation called Daemonology. I think we had talked about this before as well. It states the idea of like succubi getting pregnant, a dead body can be possessed by the devil to rise and have sex with others. But that's what I have. Yeah. So that's where we were talking about it being from the perspective of Satan, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
He is rising her out of the grave to continue to spread the seed, I suppose, in a way.
Mm.
Not really. But the other thing is, too, succubi, technically, if we're getting technical, only do this with people who are sleeping. They don't just do it with anybody.
No. They appear in men's dreams, don't they?
Yes. And the same thing, too, what I was going to say as well in that dissertation, he never stated that, like, incubi and succubi were two totally different things. It said they were the same demonic entity, but it would depend on the person that they were going after.
Yep.
So they're interchangeable in a way, which I think is pretty cool, too. Yep.
Well, they have the ability to shapeshift in most common depictions of them. They have the ability to shapeshift and make themselves as attractive as possible to the victim.
Yeah, they can't shapeshift into other things, but they can make themselves look more presentable and more attractive because they're typically not. And I had that on my notes as well because that kind of ties in towards the end of the song too.
Okay.
But the whole dream thing, or like, you know, them coming to, like, I don't know, like, this also made me think, and this is kind of my funny, like, way of looking at it, is that this is entirely a dream. By who? I don't know. But that was just what I was envisioning. It's not, like, my main takeaway from this song, but I was like, oh, that's kind of another, like, interesting way to look at it. Because, you know, there's always that, like, lore, like, that has to do with, like, sleep paralysis and stuff like that, where, you know, that you have a demon sitting on your chest and, like, suffocating you, you know. And even in science, like, they've, you know, linked that like to like incubi and succubi, which is like really interesting. And also it can explain nocturnal emissions.
Of course, yes.
That was another thing too.
Don't know what you're talking about.
No, not at all.
Mm-mm. Nope.
But that also got me thinking like, oh, what if this is just one big wet dream?
That would, yeah. Okay. Did not go down that path at all. You heard it here first on the Gospel of Ghosts podcast, guys. If you ever had a wet dream, you got fucked by a succubus.
You sure did. You absolutely did. I mean, how else could you explain it, right?
True, yes, exactly.
And like we said, they shapeshift into something more attractive.
Yeah.
Something that you desire, possibly. And, you know, then, yeah, that's just what happens. But yeah, that was my little train of thought that kind of like went into space. I was just like, oh.
I think it's a really good interpretation of like general succubus activities. Don't get me wrong. I think the idea that it could be, especially the first part of the song, is very dreamlike in its slowness and composition. So there is that thought that it could be around that. But in my opinion, it just doesn't quite fit. If you know.
No,
what I
definitely
mean.
Not. Yeah, this is just like me thinking like, oh, like there's so many different ways that you can interpret this. And also I wouldn't be shocked.
It's a good theory. And one I could definitely see working in different songs, maybe later on, and especially in the prequel album, actually. But I, as I said, I just don't think it fits quite right here. I think that's really all I've got on this. Do you want to move on?
Yeah, absolutely.
Harris's Dia, once a majesty, now exposing bone. From the darkness, rise a succubus and usurp the throne.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Harissa's Dia is such an interesting, fascinating line here. If you translate it into English, the closest it means is heretic goddess.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of, in my opinion, especially with the throne line at the end, it kind of goes along that the fact that Satan has fallen in love with the character, with Lilith, Rose is the succubus, and has appointed her essentially the queen of hell.
Yes.
Which kind of works with the name. And obviously, you know, Lilith, etc., is generally considered the queen of hell anyway. So it would fit very well in with the whole story, both traditional and the narrative that we're trying to tell. Is he speaking about his own throne, though? Or has he got a current queen that he's trying to, you know, get her to usurp?
Right. Because when I was looking at, you know, the definition of usurp, it's to take a position of power illegally,
yes,
or by force. And then in archaic terms, it's actually to infringe upon someone's right.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be him trying to kick somebody out, possibly, to yep. make room for this zombie queen. But also, too, like, I'm trying to think of how that line, once a majesty, kind of goes in, because it's like, was she something of royalty before? Was it talking about her birthing the Antichrist? Is that her position of royalty in a way? Or who is this talking about? You know?
I believe not. You're thinking of majesty in too literal of a term,
yeah,
in terms,
yeah,
of position. Majesty itself does not actually proclaim royalty. It means beauty. So once a majesty, now exposing bone, sort of implies that beauty has been destroyed rotted.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm thinking of it too literally.
Maybe, you know, I'm going to say that maybe this is implying that while the physical form may be broken and destroyed, the spirit itself is still beautiful.
Not. Yes.
Very poetic is Satan. He's very romantic.
Yes, he is.
He's very romantic in this song.
He's good with his words.
He really is. So now that we're sort of moving on from this section, let's talk about the obvious change in the type of song. That is from here on out. Like, if we look at this from a musical perspective, I would say that this is the point of the song that Lilith has started to transform, and mm-hmm. Satan and the demons of hell are celebrating in earnest. So maybe, like, beforehand it was like, you know, a solo, nice little piano and stuff, and now the stage is lit up, hellish colors, and people are dancing, people are having fun, because
it's a fucking party.
Exactly, it's a fucking party.
Hell yeah.
And Lilith has started to finally rise up. Satan's getting his bird back and the demons are loving it.
Yeah.
This is kind of what we're going under the assumption. So whenever we're going into the rest of this song, you know, the first one, imagine spotlight, imagine, you know, darkness. But then in this one, imagine pink colors and people,
yes,
dancing. That's what we got to do.
It's a pre-dance macabre,
exactly,
situation.
Exactly. It's kind of like their actual show. If you've obviously seen it, they start off kind of dark and then they light it all up.
Yep.
Maybe I'm taking a lot because I've seen this song quite a few times now in live,
right.
But.
Yes, same.
But yeah, that's where we're going.
No, it definitely is a big change in attitude.
Massively.
And in emotion too, because it definitely is. It makes you feel like powerful and like, you know, excited, because she's becoming herself again in a way, and it's a celebration, like you said, of her rebirth. Yes, there you go.
A rebirth.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do the next lines then, shall we?
Yes.
The moon is full and shines an evil, blinding light. Under a monolith, her likeness, marble white. Now, we get some of the very best imagery in this song,
mm-hmm,
of Ghost, and it comes mostly from this single verse.
It does.
The moon is full and shines an evil, blinding light is just a fantastic way of turning, like, the soft glow of the moon. You know, something that's typically romantic and calm, and also is romantic in this section, in this particular circumstance, into something sinister. Yet
very sinister. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Also still romantic. In
absolutely
a way.
Mm-hmm. It's a spotlight, like you said.
It is. It's a spotlight. It's a spotlight. Exactly. It's a spotlight. And it's just so, the imagery is so nice here that I can just imagine it perfectly in my head.
Me too. Me too.
And I think the line, actually, no, I want you to start this, because you mentioned something before the show. What are your thoughts on the under a monolith her likeness, marble white lines are?
I mean, it was more just kind of like, I wasn't entirely sure what a monolith was until I looked it up, but it is just like a... like a massive rock or stone or something as a monument or a building. So I'm automatically thinking, oh, it's just her grave or a monument for her, you know, where she's buried in a way. And yeah, and she's pale as fuck, marble white, like, yeah, you know, yeah. Maybe she matches the monolith, you know, quite also possibly. Very like white and, you know, and the light with the moon too, that also can illuminate the features further, you know. But that's kind of like, I was like, oh, that's a cool like way of putting that word. So yeah. Good with his words, like he really you said.
But yeah, I'm kind of in agreement with you. I think the lines under a monolith or likeness, marble white, they pretty much confirm to me in my head that this takes place in the graveyard.
Correct.
At first, I thought it was describing her as being marble white, which is, you know, what you said. But in thinking about it, it makes sense that this monolith is just her gravestone.
Yes.
And since it's relatively fresh at the time of the song, not obviously not completely fresh, but relatively fresh, not weather-worn completely yet, it's marble white.
Yes.
So maybe it's a statue of her. Maybe it's,
I think so. You know, because it said it could be a monument, or but it also just means like a large rock that is just a monument. It doesn't even have to be carved or anything like that. It's just like that's what it is. It's for this thing or person or whatever. But I like that. I definitely agree.
Isn't every gravestone a monument in its own way?
Absolutely.
Regardless of size, is it not? Would they not be considered a monolith?
No, definitely.
I just thought, that those four lines are just fascinating. They're really, really interesting. And I would, if we ever get a movie or TV show, I want that. I want that in
please.
There.
Please. Like you said, it's one of the most kind of like visual songs. And maybe that's why I like it so much, because I can just envision it and it doesn't leave me thinking a million questions as everything else does. You know? Like it's kind of just like, okay, here it is. Straightforward, you know. I even think Stand By Him is kind of like that too. And we did that
last
time. And it's very descriptive.
Maybe it is just the type of song that you enjoy.
I think so.
But let's move on, shall we? So the chorus. Zombie queen, black light guides you, goulet, goulet. And then again.
Yes.
So obviously, I think I'm going to bring this back around to the zombie queen bit. It just kind of furthers my point that Satan is rising, who I believe obviously to be Lilith the succubus, as being the queen of hell, quite literally the zombie queen of hell.
Yes.
She is an undead figure, regardless of whether you think that's an actual, what we would think as a zombie nowadays. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's not quite the definition. Maybe that is just something that's undead. You know what I mean?
Right. It doesn't have to be, you know, your Return of the Living Dead.
Yeah.
Zombie kind of, you know, absolutely disgusting and decrepit, but just a little bit, you know. But like you said, her beauty, maybe not so much on the outside anymore, but on the inside.
Think like Corpse Bride, but like...
Yes.
Not as child-friendly.
Not as whimsical.
No, not as whimsical. This is just Corpse Bride, but not as whimsical.
Yes.
This is Corpse Bride of Tim Burton admitted 18 plus.
I am never going to watch that movie the same. Like, that's just my automatic thought will be...
Okay,
song.
I have a request. I have a request for every single listener out there who I can do video editing, but I'm not going to do this. If you're a fan cam maker on Twitter or Instagram,
oh my God,
make a fan cam of Tim Burton's The Corpse Bride set to this song, please. That's all I need.
I love that. If I knew how to do that, I totally would, but I am not good with that kind of stuff. So, yes, somebody, anybody, please. Please make that and tag us, please.
Yeah, please. At Gospel of Ghost, at Ghouli XVX, please do it. That would be amazing.
That would make my entire life, truly.
It would be class. But yeah, black light guides you. I want to hear your thoughts on this, because I think it's a rather simple thing that is a really clever inversion of a typical trope.
Well, I mean, my automatic thought is like Satan's light essentially is guiding her and giving her the power and the, you know, the will and way to be this queen again, and just guiding her through whatever he sends her to do or whatever she does.
I said that black light guides you is just a straight up inversion of going into the light. when you die.
Right.
You know, the way I see it is
think about it that way.
Yeah, you go into a bright light, you go to the afterlife, right? What if this can be seen as her spirit returning the other way? Away from the afterlife.
Like an inversion.
Exactly. Back into the muddy darkness that is the world.
And hell.
Yeah, and hell, but mostly mostly the world.
Yeah.
In this story, hell's, you know, a bright place full of fire and stuff.
True.
The world is just kind of dark and muddy at this point. I think that sort of makes the most sense to me.
Yeah, I could see that too.
I'll move on to the next one unless you've got anything else.
No, that's it for me.
Up from the stinking dirt she rises, ghastly pale, shape-shifting soon, but now she's rigid, stiff and steel. You want to take this one away?
Well, I think it's kind of like pretty descriptive and, you know, in its own way, its own, you know, you can envision that for sure. We talked about the shape shifting thing before, because I was like, oh, well, maybe she's trying to shape shift, but like she can't or whatever. But I'm like, well, no, maybe it's just saying like right now she's just in her, you know, decrepit, like, you know, decaying state, but she's regaining her strength and her power back, and now she's going to be as she was before, possibly, you know.
No, yeah, I completely agree. I think that in the time frame, this song is very, obviously, the time frame itself is different, but the song is very good on keeping, like, it's a very short event that's sort of spaced out over the song, that she is literally coming out of her grave. I think that is, as you said, she has just come out, she's confused, she doesn't know how to use her powers, she doesn't even know why she's back alive, you know?
Right, there's no explanation yet.
Exactly, so she's just like, oh, shit, I was dead.
Right. Oh, and I'm here, and again.
I'm back. This is fantastic. Right. And it makes up with the, you know, the shape shifting, but now she's rigid. Obviously she's went through rigor mortis.
Yes. Because if she's rigid, like you said, she's gotta be completely stiff. That means very stiff. Stiff as a board.
Stiff and steel. Yeah.
Yes. So yeah. Interesting how it kind of throws you for a loop where it's like not in an order anymore, you know, because that's how I always think of like albums like that, you know, like I feel like it's in an order, unless it's like alluded that like, oh yeah, this is like in the past or in the future or like a foretelling, like, you know, in the other one. But yeah, I think that's really a really cool way to think about it, is that it's actually like post all of this.
And most songs that we're going to cover going forward, it is generally assumed that they're all in narrative order. I think the reason this was included, and this is maybe going slightly out of universe here, is that it's plot relevant, but it is more of a little side story.
Yes.
You know, it is something that, yeah, we'll be interested to hear in, but it's not the main plot. So I think it's safe to assume that they just took a little bit of a break from the main plot and, you know, and wrote this song. And then obviously next episode, we'll be going back into it with Year Zero.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So I think it's in most songs, the main plot stuff, that's all in order. But I think in this one, it's just a little side quest. It's just a little side story.
Side quest.
Yeah, it's a side quest, like an RPG. Sit and plays video games. The world is the world is The Sims, confirmed.
Oh, my God. Here on the Gospel Go. I would not be surprised.
Well, I mean, whoever's playing it, you're fucking up. You need to reset
your save. Us here.
Reset your save. Delete 2020 and start again.
Yes, exactly. Reset your save. Right, we are done.
But yes.
Damn.
Actually, no, don't restart 2020, because I started this show in 2020, and if the coronavirus never happened, would I have done it? Probably. Yeah, well, no, I started this mid-lockdown, so let's not go back to when this started. Reset the save, but make the podcast again, please.
Right, let's just go back to March 3rd of this year.
That'll do.
Yeah, we can relive that moment again.
But right, I think that was the last verse, really, unless you want to go over the next three versions of Zombie Queen, Zombie Queen, Black Light Gaiju, Goulet Goulet.
No. I think that's pretty self-explanatory.
Fair,
I think we covered it.
Yeah, agreed. And thank you very much for joining me on this episode.
Yeah.
So I am curious to think now, what is your thoughts on my theory?
No, I mean, I definitely agree with everything that you say or that you said about it, because, you know, it, like we had mentioned before, it's just kind of like, you know, how everyone has different ways of interpreting songs or stories or whatever, and it's cool to hear what other people have to say about it, because you're like, oh, I didn't really think about it that way, or oh, I didn't know what this word meant or how deep it goes and things like that. So I'm not going to say anything that you said was wrong or that I don't agree with. Mm. It's just a different way of looking at it. But I also can see where you're coming from and how it, you know, links into the story.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair. Mm-hmm. No, everything is subjective, I suppose.
But it definitely fits in for sure. And I like where it's going.
Yeah. Now, next episode, big episode.
Yes. It's gonna be fun. Oh, man. I'm excited to hear that.
I think everyone is. But yes, thank you very much for joining me, Eden. As I've said before, Eden can be followed on Twitter and Instagram at GouletXVX. Thank you very much for joining us again, Eden. It's been a
always.
Pleasure. Awesome. I'm sure we'll see you next season.
Oh, I hope. I'll be there.
Thank you. But yes, thank you very much for listening to The Gospel of Ghosts. We'll be back again in 2 weeks' time with a big one. It's year zero. Heal Sith.